Thanks, Eileen. Thank you very much.
The Ray D'Arcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Good afternoon on this Wednesday afternoon. How are you? 51551 Ray at RTE.ie. Now, loads of talk about Mr. Bates and the post office. It's been on nearly every programme. I don't know if you've watched it. It's available to watch on the Virgin Media One player. And it's well worth a watch. Great, great performances by Toby Jones and Monica Dolan. So Toby Jones plays Mr. Bates and Monica plays his wife. And you know the story by now. It's sub post office masters and mistresses all across the UK, including Northern Ireland. And a new computer system was introduced called Horizon. And mistakes were being made. And because of their contract, the postmasters and postmistresses had to cough up from their own pockets the discrepancies each week. The computer was doing it. They were saying the computer was doing it, but some of them were found guilty of fraud and theft. They went to prison. Others suffered terrible heartache and mental illness as a result of the pressure they were under. Four people took their own lives. And it's an amazing story. And on the back of that, which was a four-part dramatisation of the events over Christmas on ITV and Virgin Media One, loads of things have been happening in the UK, and you would have heard that on Liveline yesterday and on Clare Byrne this morning. But the Guardian today does an interesting two-page spread on TV programmes that have changed the world. I'm just looking at some of them here. A Spotlight, that's BBC Northern Ireland from 1980, Giuseppe Conlon and the Bomb Factory. A report by Gavin Esther, later a Newsnight anchor and Change UK European parliamentary candidate, was crucial in building doubt about the convictions of the Guildford Four and the Maguire Seven. And they also mention here Terry Pratchett, Choosing to Die, which was an amazing documentary, probably the best documentary I've ever seen. It was where he travelled to Dignitas. He was in the early stages of dementia and he was considering taking his own life in a sort of an organised way. So he travelled to Dignitas and he spoke to people there. And he was in the company of a man who used the services of Dignitas, which was very strong, very strong. And then I was just thinking, what about Ireland? What are the programmes, the TV programmes that have changed history in our world, in Ireland? Definitely States of Fear by Mary Raftery. That was big time. 1999, that's a long time ago now, isn't it? It detailed the abuse suffered by children between the 30s and 70s in state childcare here, in industrial schools and such like institutions. And that opened an horrific can of worms. And I suppose the ripple effect of that still continue today. That was one that I thought of. The appearance of Padraig Flynn, P. Flynn, on The Late Late Show, where he told Gay Byrne at the time that it was difficult maintaining two houses. And Tom Gilmartin was watching and he was horrified and he rang in. And all that led to the Mann Tribunal. And again, I suppose the ramifications, good and bad, from that are still with us today. And it probably inadvertently, Padraig Flynn cleaned up politics in Ireland by that appearance on The Late Late Show, and he thought he was just sharing a little bit of his life with the viewers of The Late Late Show. That was the gift of The Late Late Show back in the day. I'm wondering, is there any other ones that we should be mentioning here? TV programmes. Now, loads of radio stuff has happened over the years on Liveline and Documentary and One that have changed the face of how we look at ourselves and perceive ourselves. But any TV programmes, be it drama or documentary, you might have one that you always cite, you know, in conversation. 51551 or ray at rte.ie. Now, just in mouse update. I know. Sublime, ridiculous, all that. Yeah. We spoke to Rodney Holbrook on Monday about the Welsh tidy mouse who's been tidying up Rodney's shed for the last while, and he caught him on camera. And then we spoke to Enid Launa, and she suggested a number of scientific experiments that maybe Rodney might do. He was out and about yesterday. We spoke to him again today. He has decided he's going to do his own scientific research. So he did something yesterday. He wouldn't divulge what it was. He's doing something again tonight, and he's going to come on tomorrow and tell us how those scientific experiments have gone, because loads of theories about why the mouse is tidying up the wine corks and the clothes pegs and the bits of plastic and the lids and all that. But Rodney's doing his own research in his shed, and he's going to come on tomorrow. So we'll have more of that mouse watch tomorrow. Yesterday we played Bohemian Rhapsody in its entirety, 5 minutes and 56 seconds for your information. And Harm has been on. Harm says, I heard your programme that you were giving extra information about the song Bohemian Rhapsody, and I was waiting for you to mention the below. Some extra info for you. Since 1999, the Dutch radio station Radio 2 is broadcasting the top 2,000 just between Christmas and finishing New Year's Eve, just before midnight. So it's like Fanning's top 50, but it's 2,000 songs. And the list is completed by listeners' votes. And in all those years, Queen's Bohemian Rhapsody has been number one on 20 of them. It doesn't say... since 1999. So that's what, 24 years, yes. So of those 24 years, Bohemian Rhapsody has been voted number one by the Dutch listening public of the best top 2,000 songs of all time. That's interesting, isn't it? That caught my attention this morning as well on Morning Ireland. 6 in 10 people say they've never been to a women's sporting event. And this compares to less than 30% who have never attended a men's sporting event. So 30%, that's, both of those figures are surprising to me. I just thought we were a sports nation. I thought everybody, even if you didn't play it, you attend it. But it seems like a good old chunk of the population have never attended a live sporting event. So still a bit to be done on the women in sport thing. And it's changed dramatically over the last 5 years. And we see the following of the football team, the rugby team, the GAA. We were at the final between Dublin and Meath a few years ago in Croke Park. Brilliant event. That was the year that Meath did the synchronised sort of swimming type thing on the kick out. Brilliant to watch from the stands. Anywho, and if things are going to change in a real way, we have to get more people travelling to matches. And not just the big events in Croke Park, but the local club events as well. So get to it. And this is worrying as well. Of those surveyed, 46% said men's sport was generally better to watch. And 1 in 3 said they believed the standard of play was not high enough to justify attendance at live matches. So that'll be a kick in the teeth for people who are in sport. But things are changing. Things are changing. Now, I mentioned last week, and we were talking about... New Year's resolutions. And I was saying that mine, lame enough as it was to introduce colour into my wardrobe, because it's been a joke in our house. It's navy and black, and most of the navy is so dark that it could be black. And I was thinking that maybe, and a lot of people say that introducing colour into your world is positive. It brings out your sunny side and all that sort of thing. And on the back of that, we got an email from a lady who's a colour consultant, no less. She's also determined, because she sent us in text. Then she contacted Jenny. And anyway, we're going to be talking to her today, and she's going to suggest to me, and you might get some, tips from her as well about colour. And her claim is that we all have a palette, you see. We all have a palette that suits us. And it's a little bit deeper than that, because it's all about psychology of colour and all that sort of thing. So anyway, we're going to be talking to her. And we've been doing this all week. We've been introducing you to the 6 hopefuls for this year's Eurosong. You have to put on a sort of a Terry Wogan type Marty Whelan voice, don't you, when you say Eurosong. Already we've met two. We've met Elsha and Erica Cody. That's Monday and Tuesday. And we've 2 to meet today, because 6 into 5 doesn't go. So we have 6 acts. We've only 5 days to do it. So one day I had to get 2, and today is the day. So we'll be going live to London, and we'll be going live to Nashville. Oh yes, truly international. Truly international. And that'll be Act 3 and Act 4 and Song 3 and Song 4. I do not know if they're going to appear in that sequence on the Late Late Show at the end of the month. But that's the way we're doing it, I think, was all to do with availability. How about the radio? You see, I mentioned there are loads of radio documentaries. Women of Honour is one, of course. Yes, Katie Hannon and Tom Donnelly brought us that. The film Philomena. Yes, very good. Gave a human face to birth mothers. Kind regards. A brilliantly made movie about a true life story. Sean Doherty on Nighthawks. That's now there's one. That's it. Again, a casual conversation between Shea Healy, the late Shea Healy, and TD Sean Doherty about phone tapping. Well, you wouldn't have a casual one, but that it ended up being that, because that was live. And it was in this situation, for those of you who don't remember, it was in a cafe. So there were people there having drinks, there were people smoking. And in among all of them was Shay and his guest. And I suppose what happened was that sometimes the guests forgot they were on television and probably said things they shouldn't have said. And that was the case for Sean Doherty. The excellent RTÉ expose of the nursing home scandal at Lee's Cross. Yes, game changer for nursing care. Claire says, I've never been to a sporting event. It sounds like a song by Charlene, but I've been to Meath. Why, Claire? Why? And on the mouse issue, hello, Ray. I believe the word you're after is mousekeeping. Ah, very good. See, we're on day three. We didn't even think of that. We're slow. Well, it is only January 10th. We're not up to full speed yet. That's Albie in LA. Hello, Albie in LA. Mousekeeping, very good. Now, 51551 ray at rte.ie. Here's our friend, Miriam Bradley, from Donegal, and Jules Holland's Hoot Nanny. Yeah, that's some fine guitar playing there. 17-year-old Miriam Bradley from Donegal. She's in fifth year. And she performed that live on Jules Holland's Hoot Nanny on New Year's Eve. Amazing talent and a brilliant future ahead of her. Now, scam of the day. they're coming thick and heavy, aren't they? So I don't have notifications on WhatsApp, so they don't ping and they don't ring. But somebody was desperately trying to get me this morning at 10:15. And when I looked it up, it was a +223. So I put that in. International code +223. So they were in Mali. They could have been in Timbuktu. That's the capital of Mali, Timbuktu. And then I looked up and the avatar is of this attractive young woman. Now, I don't know anybody in Mali. I don't know anybody in Timbuktu. There's a population of 22 million people. I suspect it was a scam. So just watch out. Be careful. Be ever vigilant. Unless you know the number, I think. That's the thing. Unless you know the number, don't do anything about it. And you know, again and again and again, they're telling us no reputable organisation would ask you to give your bank details over a text. So never do that and be vigilant. Still think you should try the multicoloured stripy scarf, Ray. Oh, yeah, yeah. Introduce. That's Martina. Or at the very least, brightly coloured socks. So a lot of men being interviewed on chat shows have brightly coloured socks. Here you go. Now, there you go. I have them on. They're orange. They're orange, brightly coloured socks. There you go. So I've started, Martina. I'll work my way off my socks. So next year, maybe, we'll work our way up. We'll see what happens. Now, we're looking for two of you to come on after 4 o'clock and take part in our Who Done It quiz. Yeah, two quizzers. There will be questions and clues, and there's a prize. And this week we've teamed up with Fairways Hotel, proudly part of the I Knew A Collection up in Dundalk, perfectly located between Dublin and Belfast. The Fairways Hotel welcomes guests with warm hospitality, gorgeous rooms, and memorable evenings at the Brasserie, which is the hotel's restaurant. During your stay, you can discover Dundalk, enjoy a delectable afternoon tea, and enjoy a nightcap before a blissful night's sleep. Fairwayshotel.ie. Fairwayshotel.ie. Now, here's your qualifying question today. Was Barry Keoghan in Saltburn or Peppercorn? Was Barry Keoghan in Saltburn or Peppercorn? 0818 715 925. That's 0818 715 925. A lot of talk about this particular movie. 0818 715 925. Good luck with that.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1. Email ray@rte.ie. The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio.
And just a reminder about our quiz. We're looking for two of you to come on after 4 o'clock and take part in our Who Done A Quiz. We've a lovely weekend away for two people to give away. And here's your qualifying question. Was Barry Keoghan in Saltburn or Peppercorn? Was Barry Keoghan in Saltburn or Peppercorn? The movie 0818 715 925. That's 0818 715 925. Now it's day three of our Eurosong build-up. So at the end of the month, six acts will appear on the Late Late Show and you'll be asked to vote on which of those will represent Ireland in this year's Eurovision Song Contest in Sweden. Today's the turn of J. Yellow L. Hello, J. Yellow L.
Yes, Ray. How are you? Good afternoon. How are you?
Good to talk to you.
Likewise.
You're in London.
I am indeed, in this lovely studio that RTE sorted out for me, so I'm happy to be here with you, speaking to you.
So, Jean-Luc Udo.
Yes, indeed.
Yes, and I'll refer to you as Jay, and your stage name is Jay Yellow L. And I'm just spelling it out for people because they might want to Google you. Is that okay, Jay?
Yeah, that's absolutely perfect.
Yeah, so it's Jay, the colour yellow, L. So, J-Y-E-L-L-O-W-L. Great, we've got that out of the way. Now, congratulations.
Thank you. Yeah. I'm super excited, man.
Yeah, because it's like there were 380 songs submitted and only six are getting to the, well, officially five went through the process and then one of them was fast-tracked. So well done to you. That's great. You've been doing what you do, I see, since 2016.
Yeah, I've been doing this for a while, you know, and this is just another honour for me. You know, it's great to be called up to do this. I feel like since I started my career, I've always wanted to be a representative of Irish music, you know, and a positive representative of Irish music across the pond. So this is just a more direct way of having the opportunity to do that, you know, literally carrying the flag.
And Jay, the Eurovision, I think, has lost its sort of naffness, hasn't it? It's become a real shop window for international acts.
Yeah, absolutely. And Ireland, we've had a tough ride in the Eurovision recently, you know. But that's why we're here now. I feel like this lineup, the six final songs here, are amazing. All from incredible acts and incredible artists. Really looking forward to carrying Ireland's flag on our back right now. And whoever gets to do it, hopefully myself, does the country proud.
Yeah, there's a great modern feel about the six entries this year. You know, it feels like modern Ireland to me, anyway, looking from the sidelines, so to speak. So where, just tell us a bit about yourself, your age, your family, all that sort of stuff.
Yeah, so I'm 25 years old. My name is Jean-Luc, of course. I grew up in Dublin since I was a young kid, basically my whole life. Blanchardstown, Clonsilla, Dublin 15. Yeah, and fun fact, actually, I was going to mention this because the people who actually got us in the last eight of the Eurovision in 2011, Jedward, were actually in my school. They were actually they were actually previous students in my school. So that's such a random full circle moment right now. So yeah, it's just crazy. And the stars just align, you know.
Yeah, in the last 20 years, I think they've been our most successful act with Lipstick.
Wow.
No.
Yeah, says it all.
Yeah.
It says it all.
No pressure, Jay. No pressure.
Yeah. I don't know how I'm going to top that, but I'll find a way. I'm resourceful.
Yeah. So your album, your debut album was nominated for the RTÉ Choice Music Prize Awards in 2020. Yeah. And you've been sort of around the hip-hop scene in Ireland. You moved to London because there's a healthier scene over... Well, it's a bigger scene over there.
Yeah, it's a bigger scene. And I moved to London with the same vision, with the same goal in mind, you know. And it was only recently, a couple of months ago, but the same thing was to recognize Ireland as a Irish music as a force to be reckoned with on the international stage, like just to show people that we are producing world-class quality music and we're able to contend with anyone from anywhere, you know, provided we hone our craft and work on our skills and market ourselves in an effective way.
Yeah. And of course, Ukraine won the year before last. There was rapping in that. There's rap every year in the Eurovision now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So there was a time when it would have looked odd there, but it doesn't at all now. So what about staging? Is that a big thing for you?
Staging is a big thing for me. I think everyone that watches a JLOL show, you know that I put a lot into it. I put a lot to provide the best experience for the viewers and the listeners alike. So I can't give away too much because it is a competition at the end of the day. So we are going to have to tune in on the 26th of January and see what JLOL has in store for Judas. And it's going to be amazing. I can guarantee that.
Okay. So the song is Judas featuring
Toshin, incredible vocalist, one of the best we have in the country, and just absolutely honored to have her on the track as well.
Okay, this is exciting, Jay. This is the first time the people of Ireland are going to hear a Judas by J. Yellow L. Here it is.
Look. Time is better spent or not wasted. I had to stop focusing on them and what they did. The picture gets bigger and the lens is what changes. Yeah, that's when your friends become strangers. Read between the lines and then what you find is you're on different pages. You can't hear your calling cause you're disengaged with purpose at that motive, this occasion. At most, crystal basement. When they wanna link, you better dislocate them. I was never born to ride, I was born to dictate. If there was a riptide, then I'm the one that splits waves. Why they wanna pick fights? It's not even a big play. See, either they click right or write it for the clickbait. Never what they describe in spite of what they did say. Life is bittersweet. That's why I'm only left with distaste. You give them a peek on how you're working on a big break, then they wanna take it, but never know what it takes. Either get a plate fixed or be the one to fix plates. Grinding on the streets, well expect to get your skin scathed. Working through the weekends, that's Saturday and Sunday. Hoping we can see M's and accolades someday. Hoping we can see M's and accolades someday. Be as consistent as all of my mom's prayers. We will see M's and accolades someday. And keep that smile on my mom's face, God's grace.
Hey.
It still give me PTSD. We're no good at sharing, and that's why we needed 3 PS3s, 2 PS4s. Imagine being choosy and poor, too immature, but knew the allure of remedial things. Too reassured not to be treated as kings. Knew we were more than disobedient kids who leaderboards couldn't reward and didn't believe the things we seen on Wikipedia links. Like, are your thoughts really your thoughts or what the media thinks? I said it's crazy, you know. So I'm minding the business that pays me, you know. Living off of filler rolls and savings, you know. Now I'm breaking in the door, I raise the alarm, yeah.
Hey, if you can see. Never wear my crown. You're not gonna hold me. You're not gonna hold me down. It's too late to turn back. Hey, if you can hear me now. You never wear my crown. You're not gonna hold me. You're not gonna hold me down. It's too late to turn.
That's great, Jay.
Yes, sir. Thank you so much. It sounds great. It sounds great on radio. You know, it sounds great. I can get used to that. Get used to hearing Judas on the Ray Darcy Show.
Yeah.
Hint, hint. Let's go.
Let's go. Hint, hint. Mm-hmm. Let's go. So you're just at a UCD.
Yes, yes. UCD alumni, proud politics and sociology alumni from the UCD Newman Building. You can actually see. I'm very proud to have my picture up in the Newman Building because. Yeah, I just am. It's just great to be recognized by a university, especially one that I've really spent a lot of time honing my skills there. You know,
and of course, your 4 years doing politics and that obviously color your lyrics.
Yes, absolutely. You know, I think I've always been that way inclined. I've always been interested in understanding the world and just the general landscape of society and seeing how I can positively contribute to that. And of course, it comes through in my music as well.
What are your thoughts about, you know, your contemporaries, your generation, and how they consume news?
I think everything is very fast-paced right now. I think people's attention spans are also very short, and we're becoming desensitized to a lot of things. It's not really anyone's fault. It's just the information age that we're in right now. Everything is really quick. But it's good to just remain conscious and make a conscious effort to really control what you do take in and what you do internalize and fact check and cross check everything that is put in front of you, because there's a lot of information being put in front of us right now.
I don't think a lot of people do that. Where do you get your news from, Jay?
I get my news from the most reliable sources wherever I can, to
right,
be honest.
Okay, good answer.
Everywhere.
Good answer.
Yeah. The Ray Darcy Show, that's where I get my news
from.
We
do, yeah. No comment on that, no comment on that. Okay, when it comes to Eurovision moments, what's your favourite from all the years?
Honestly, my favourite Eurovision moment right now, because obviously last year, or no, it was in 2022 when it was supposed to be in Ukraine, but it couldn't be held in Ukraine, so it was held in the UK instead. And I believe Ukraine actually won it that year. That was great. That was just a special moment for the world with everything that was going on at the time. It was great to just see smiles on the faces of the Ukrainian people that missed everything that was going on. So it was incredible. And also Loreen, who won it last year from Sweden, incredible, brought it back to Sweden this year, where by God's grace we're going to be headed. And it's just interesting because when ABBA won the Eurovision all those many years ago, it's a full circle moment celebrating 50 years of ABBA with Eurovision in Malmo, Sweden. So that is, you can't make that up. So
it's all happening today. You and Jedward and Malmo.
Everything,
and
all the full circle ABBA moments. Here. The stars are all aligning. That's what I'm saying.
Has anybody ever sampled an ABBA song? They probably don't allow it, do they?
Probably not. No. And if they did, it'll probably cost a ton of money that some people might not have right now. So.
So song three, Judas by Gel Yellow L. Thanks so much for coming into Organ House and good luck on the 26th. Nice
Thank you so much for having me. Nice talking to you and let's go.
Bye. Let's go. Guy.
The Ray D'Arcy Show on RTE Radio 1. Text 51551. The Ray D'Arcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Very well informed listeners. Madonna's Hung Up track sample Gimme a Man After Midnight by ABBA, says Benny. Oh, that's straight from the horses, straight from the source. Yeah. Now, because six doesn't go into five, we've two songs today. So that was song three and act three. And we have song four and act four coming up in about 10 minutes' time. And just on that ongoing fallout from Mr. Bates in the post office, I came across a great article, if you're interested in it, from Private Eye. And they were one of the publications that were doing the story when nobody else was. Nick Wallace, who I don't know if he's a regular journalist with Private Eye, but he wrote the book on the scandal. And there's a long read article that I came across, which you don't have to pay for, by Richard Brooks and Nick Wallace, called Justice Lost in the Post: How the Post Office Wrecked the Lives of Its Own Workers. And if you're interested in finding out more about that, that's a good read and has a lot of detail in it. So there. Now, when you open your wardrobe in the morning, how much time do you spend deciding not what to wear, but what colour to wear? Oh, I do. Yes. Will it be navy? Will it be black? My next guest says, if you understand the science and psychology of colour, you'll not just look so much better, you'll also save a fortune and be much more confident. So the science and psychology of colour. Maria Macklin, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Ray. How are you?
I'm not too bad. I'm sitting here in my...
In your orange socks.
Yeah, black boots, very dark navy jeans, and a black half zip top. So that's me.
Okay.
And I do have orange socks on, but nobody can see that.
Nobody can see. Okay.
Because of the boots. Okay. Right. Is this a thing now, Maria? Or is this a real thing?
It is a real thing, and it's always been a thing. I mean, the science of color has been on the go for. Well, at House of Colour, which is the company where I work, we've been doing it for 35 years.
Right.
So it is a thing, and it's a very real thing, and it's a very impactful thing, because colour is visually engaging.
Yeah.
And so when you walk into a room, you see colour first. When you walk into that, when you look at all the colours, you'll see red first. So red is the most impactful.
Mm.
And then you'll see the other colours after that. But if you're somebody who is talked over, ignored, unseen, right, adding a splash of colour will bring some emphasis to you. But understanding the right colour to wear will draw attention to you for all the right reasons rather than all the wrong reasons. And so there's a whole plethora of information.
Now, a disclaimer from the outset here, Maria, I'm going to need a little bit of convincing. And it's not that I doubt your credentials and what you're saying or the science behind it or anything like that. It's just that I don't have the confidence to wear bright colours.
Yes.
That's it now. I've said it. That's it. And it's always been the case. I just don't have the confidence to wear bright colours. Is it about colours that suit you? You know, that brings out the colour of your eyes. or is it something else?
Yes. It's really about your skin undertone. So in your subcutaneous layer, your fatty layer, you have pigment, and that pigment is either blue-based or yellow-based. And if you surround yourself with a corresponding color, either a blue-based or yellow-based color, you will look fresher, brighter, younger. You will glow, and the definition will come into your face. When you do the opposite, you look older, sicker, tireder, need a break.
Right.
And so, and you will be able to go into your wardrobe, get dressed in the dark, look well put together, not have to think about it. You'll have a really clear visual piece of information that will allow you to cut through the noise in the shop when you're shopping.
So what you're saying is, you know that expression that people use, I wouldn't wear that because it drains the colour out of your face.
Yes, exactly.
So with certain people, one colour will drain the colour out of their face, and that could be the perfect colour for somebody else.
Exactly.
Right, okay.
Yes. And everybody gets all of the colours. So in my colour palette, I have blues, greens, yellow, oranges, reds, but they're a different shade to the greens, blues, oranges, reds in a different colour palette. So mine are more yellow-based and the other person's might be more blue-based. Mine are softer. People's might be brighter. So we look at your skin undertone first, then we take into account your hair and eyes, and we look at the clarity of your skin to see whether you should suit really saturated colours or something that's a bit more muted. And once you understand that, you have a quarter of the colours out there to choose from. You will look more harmonious, you'll look blended, your clothes will all go together, you'll be able to buy less.
Yes.
You're still laughing.
No, every time. I don't mean to, it's no disrespect. It's my unease with my, you know, when I look in, it is navies and blacks. And I was just saying upstairs that before Christmas, I have this fleece lined shirt that I got about, it could be about 6 or 7 years ago. I love it. It's like nearly like a comfort blanket for me, but it's in shreds. I can really only wear it around the house. And sometimes when I forget I have it on, I'm going out, Jenny would say to me, you can't go outside in that. And I've been trying to replace it. Anyway, I spotted one before Christmas, but it was brighter. So it had a bit of yellow, rust, orange, bit of red in it, you know, in a sort of a check thing. And I thought, and because it was lined and it was what I was looking for, I bought it. Have I worn it? No. The tags are still on it. I've put it on once or twice, and I don't have the confidence to wear it. I'm not on my own here.
Absolutely not. And that's one of the reasons why people don't have this done, because they think I'm going to send them out looking like a parrot, feeling like a parrot, looking like a children's TV presenter. Yes. I'm not going to do that.
TV presenter.
I know you are. Yes. I know you are. Everybody has a set of neutral colours that will work brilliantly for them. And your neutral colours, typically blue, black, grey, navy, brown, all of the colours that we often go for first, the safe colours.
Yes.
Everybody's are different, but they keep you grounded, they give you gravitas, and they'll stop you from feeling like you're shouting, that your clothes are shouting for you.
Right.
So everybody has those. So that's where we start. Then we have a set of basic colours, which are mostly blues and greens, but everybody's are different. And blues and greens aren't hard to step into either. That's easy. Mm. We're not going to make a huge statement wearing a blue or a green, but everybody has a different blue or green. And then we have what we call the impact colours, which are the colours that will keep you more visible.
Reds.
That you might be more comfortable wearing on the beach.
Yeah.
You might be more comfortable wearing to a wedding or a less formal occasion. And those are reds, oranges, yellows, pinks, purples, you know, the brighter colours.
Yeah.
Can I ask you this? Have you ever to wear a small amount?
Have you ever noticed when you go into a clothes shop in January, in the sales, that the items are predominantly bright colours?
Because everybody's afraid to buy them.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I rest my case.
And people hold themselves back. Yes, and they won't. But it's not that they're afraid; it's that they don't know. And when you don't know what to say, you won't shout. You'll hold yourself back and you whisper.
The other thing is,
and that's what we do.
The other thing is, like, and I say it to my children now, which I'm probably poisoning to the world of colour. But if you're going somewhere like, you know, a wedding or somewhere different, and you're meeting different people, you want to be comfortable. I would say wear what you're comfortable in.
And of course,
instead of going with something that shouts and says, "I'm here, yay! It's a red top," you know. Do you see what I'm saying?
You have to do what's right for you.
And here's the other question, because I'm fascinated by this, Maria. That in all the predictions of the future, you know, in all these sci-fi movies, It's sort of like a monochrome palette they're presenting. So all the people who've thought about what people will
bleak.
Be wearing in the future, isn't it? It's monochrome.
It is, bleak. Yeah, it is. But I don't think we're going to do that because we need colour. We need.
Yeah.
I mean, we don't put neutral colours into our gardens. We're
right.
not surrounded by neutral
That's
colours,
true.
But we
yes.
wear them.
Yes. Yeah.
I don't know why we spend our time in neutral colours when there's so much opportunity to do something different.
I'm jealous about people who wear colour, Maria. I am genuinely jealous about people who have.
Well, you need to go through the process, Ray, because it will open your eyes, literally and metaphorically. It will open your eyes to what.
So what do you do? What
do
you do? What do you do when you give somebody a consultation?
Okay, so people come to my studio without any. For women, no makeup, no fake tan. I have to see them in their raw state.
Right.
I sit in front of a mirror. In natural daylight in my window, and I drape them with precision dyed drapes that go under their chin, and you will see the effect. The effect of a wrong drape on you will make you look, as you say, drained.
Yeah.
The effect of the right drape on you will bring the attention to your face, will look focused, will make you look more defined, will bring brightness to your eyes, you look like you've had a holiday, and then you'll go away with that information and a fan of your colours, your colour reference points in it, and support from me and inspiration boards and help with shopping, etc., etc. And you step into it gradually, like you do with anything. When you learn to drive, you don't go straight onto the motorway.
Fair
you know,
enough.
You start on the back roads and you start.
So
in
start with a pair of orange
and
socks
gear.
And work up. No, somebody,
but it gives you permission to move into something a bit more than that because you know what's right for you because you'll have seen it.
Yeah.
And I'm by your side.
Your description reminds me of, remember when you were kids and you get the buttercup and you hold it under your chin and the reflection, the reflection of the yellow.
Yes.
But that's because it does reflect, the colour reflects onto your face, doesn't it?
It does. And some colours you can absorb and some colours
you
will
can't.
Distract
right.
from your face.
I'm
yes.
getting it now. Now, a person I know got a present of a colour consultation. It was online. They've been given a palette and they've also been given a type that they're True Summer or something like that. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Is it? Yeah. What does that mean?
There are types. Well, we split the quadrants into four groups and they're given a seasonal name because actually that's what the colours look like in any season. So I wear colours that belong to the autumn season. There's no science behind that. That's just what they look like.
Okay.
I don't recommend online consultation. You need to be in daylight. I mean, you know, if you buy something online and you bring it home and it looks completely different.
Yeah.
Because a camera will adjust.
Okay.
A device will adjust it.
But who that we know, that everybody knows, does it well? You know, somebody
Well, Leo Varadkar does it well.
Does he? Leo Varadkar does it well. No, I was thinking,
most of the time,
most recently, the most colourful person I've seen is Barry Keoghan. He wore a red suit to the Golden Globes.
Yes, but it's a particular shade of red, and I haven't had him in my studio, so without seeing him in real life, sometimes it's harder to know.
It's unlikely to happen.
No, it's unlikely to happen. I know.
Yeah, but you couldn't.
But I do offer it to you though.
I'm going to. Yeah. I've started to wear rusty, burnt orange colours lately, and everyone tells me I look much younger. Says Simon. There you go.
There you are. Yes,
and
there you are.
If you watch Ministers for Finance, in a lot of countries, they nearly always have a purple mauve tie shirt. I heard that this is the colour of persuasion to get people on your side. So on budget
sometimes,
day, true or false, Mary says.
Yeah. It depends on the purple. There's a royal purple, which is a deep, deep one, which was only allowed to be worn by the royalty because it was so expensive to make. So you gave out your status by wearing it.
Okay.
And
we can't do it remotely, no. I can't send you up a few pics.
It's much more accurate to do it in person.
Okay,
I don't do it remotely.
We'll talk about it off air, but that it is fascinating, Maria Macklin.
It is fascinating, and the results are amazing.
Okay, this is the beginning of my colour journey. Thanks, Maria.
Absolutely.
Thanks so much. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Bye bye.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1. Tweet at Radio Ray RTE. The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Now, yes, on the Eurovision, very promising lineup so far for Ireland's Eurovision entry. I hope the public voting on the night, when they see the Late Late Show, realise it's time for Ireland to take a risk and send something competitive, something you can't ignore and turn away from when it's on for those 3 minutes. Yep. Well, today it's double Eurosong. entertainment, because we had song three from act three. Now it's time for act four and song four. Isabella Carney, hello.
Hello, how are you?
Live from Nashville.
Live from Nashville, yes. Very cold Nashville.
Yes. This is truly an international conversation we're going to be having, because you are in Nashville, which is in the United States of America. You have what sort of an accent?
I have an Australian accent.
Right. How many passports have you got?
I've got two.
One of them
I've got Irish and Australian.
There you go. Yes.
Yes.
And you spent an awful lot of your time in Donegal. Is that where
I did.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Yes.
So before we get to the song and the music and all that, tell us a little bit more about yourself. Pretend you're in the Rose Tralee competition. You know that?
I actually did the Rose Tralee in Sydney, so.
So you know the deal then. You know the routine.
I do know the deal. I know my questions. I was born in Australia, and then my mum and I moved to Northern Ireland, because that's where my nana was. Mm. And we lived there for about 5 years, and we would go down to Dublin every weekend, and then we'd summer in West Cork.
Right.
And then when I moved back again when I was 18, and I lived in West Cork in Skibbereen, which was awesome. Mm. And and it's always kind of been like this back and forth between Ireland and Australia. My mum's from Greencastle in Donegal. And so I feel like I've gotten this like great experience of Ireland, and I very much feel half because my mum is very patriotic, which is awesome.
Yeah, and you've a lovely tempered accent. It's
thank you.
Because you can hear the soft Irish brogue in there, and you can hear the little the little lilt of Australia. It's a beautiful accent, I have to say. It is a beautiful accent.
Thank you. That's very kind.
Yeah. So where did the music come from then?
So when I was a kid, I had a very Irish experience, I think, because we would go to my nana's house, and all my cousins and I would have like a party piece that we had to perform. And that's kind of where the performance element came in. And then the songwriting element, I mean, I used to write like really bad poetry, I'm sure, if I look back now. And then it was just like singing, songwriting, and then I became a professional songwriter about 5 years ago. So I've been doing that ever since.
Now, two questions out of that. What was your party piece?
I did I'm a Little Teacup.
Oh, classic. Yes, classic. I used to do that on the Den. I'm a little... Do you want to join me in, just for old time's sake?
I'm a little teapot, short and spout. That's pretty good, right?
Yeah, that's very good. That's very good. My singing ability is not as good as that at all. That's the one first question. Second question, what age are you?
I'm 31.
31. So you've been doing it since you're 20, in your 20s. Yeah.
Yes.
And what 20s. Brought you to Nashville?
So my publishing company, Sony Music Pub, they have an office here. And it was kind of between LA and Nashville. And I just always love Nashville. It's like the mecca of songwriting, and like so inspirational. You can see music any time of the day. And it was just always felt like home.
Mm. And of course, Australia is now part of Europe for Eurovision.
Yes, exactly. We're very serious in Eurovision.
Yeah. Have you any idea how that happened? What's the relationship between Australia and the Eurovision Song Contest?
Because there's a lot of Europeans that live in Australia. Mm. And so I think we had such a big amount of people watching Eurovision. We all have parties, and it's a really big part of like our culture that I think I'm sure Eurovision just saw the numbers and they were like, all right, you can come in if you want.
Fact geography. Yeah. Doesn't matter. Geography doesn't matter. It's about the music.
Exactly. Yes. Exactly. Yeah. I wrote two songs for Eurovision, for Australia Decides. So I kind of have a little bit of experience with the Eurovision writing, which was cool.
Now, this song, Let Me Be the Fire. Written by you and anybody else?
Yes, Cutfather, Rasmus and Megan Redmond. And we wrote it here in Nashville. So a very world-class selection of songwriters, which was awesome.
And how would you describe it?
I would say it's a dance bop, but it also has some substance in the lyrics. It's kind of about helping someone through a hard time, like, and being like, I've got your back. So that's right. What the song's about. It's got a message to it as well.
Song 4, Isabella Carney singing Let Me Be the Fire. Here we go.
Still missing, but I feel you all around. Am I getting closer? I keep following the sound, ringing out. It's so loud. Did you call, or did I just dream? Or are you tired of the highs and lows? Take you home if you're out.
That's great. Congratulations.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you very much.
Yeah, well, you're down to the final 6 of 380. That's a huge achievement.
I know. Yeah. I know. It's a dream come true, honestly, just even being at this stage. So I'm so excited.
And Isabella, is it D-A-H-D-A-H-D-A-H? Da-da-da. Is that how you spell it?
Yeah. Da-da-da. Da-da-da-da-da-da. Yeah, exactly.
Na-na-na.
Yeah. Yeah, you got it.
Yeah,
you
I got it. Yeah, it's a bit of an earworm.
It's an earworm, yes, as we yes, say in the yeah. industry.
Yes. How do you make an earworm? How do you know it's going to be an earworm?
I don't know, but it was weird. It was a weird, when we wrote it, it was a very quick session. It only took like 3 hours, which is quick.
Yeah.
And it just, we all had this feeling when we left, and I listened to it a bunch. And normally I wouldn't really like listen that much to songs that I've written from the day, but I couldn't stop listening to it. I just had a feeling about it.
Okay. Now we've been asking everybody their favorite Eurovision moment, their favorite Eurovision song.
Yes. Mine is Duncan Lawrence Arcade Classic Bop.
Yeah, classic. 2019.
So good.
Yeah, for Netherlands.
So good.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, so 26th of January, roll on. Eurosong selection night on The Late Late Show. And a song, I don't know if it's going to be in this order, but for our purposes this week, you are Act 4, Song 4, Isabella Carney. And
amazing.
Let Me Be the Fire. Great talking to you, Isabella. Good luck.
Thank you
bye,
so much.
Bye, bye, bye. Four gone, two to go. tomorrow Thursday and then on Friday. Anish Doshan and the Preep Skelton and Oakdale and Marion Ní Húlaháin. Good Marion, thank you very much. 51551 ray at rte.ie. Yeah, two more Eurosong hopefuls to hear tomorrow and Friday. And there's been a huge reaction right across Europe because there are people who are obsessive Eurovision fans and they follow every country selection process really closely. So they're listening. We've listeners this week that we've never had before and they'll be gone elsewhere next week. But hello and welcome to all you Eurovision fans from all over Europe. Now it's time for Who Done It Quiz. They've probably gone at this stage, haven't they? Yeah, you're right. They're probably gone at this stage, yeah. OK, two quizzers standing by and there's a prize. And this week we've teamed up with Fairways Hotel Dundalk. They're proudly part of the I Knew a Collection Hotel Group. The Fairways Hotel is set in the heart of Dundalk, perfectly located between Dublin and Belfast. It welcomes guests with warm hospitality, gorgeous rooms and memorable evenings at their hotel restaurant, The Brasserie. The Fairways Hotel, fairwayshotel.ie, fairwayshotel.ie. Hello, Mandy Twomley.
Hello, Ray. Hi.
How are you? I've never met a Twomley before. Is it?
No, there's quite a few of us.
Is there? In Kildare?
No, not in Kildare. I think it's originally, there's quite a few in Dublin. I think it's originally an English name way back.
Right. Twamley.
That's it, yes.
Twomley, right. And yeah. Did you marry into it?
I did, yes.
Right, yeah. I wonder, has anybody ever decided not to get married to somebody because of their surname? I wonder, has that ever happened?
I don't know. So you don't have to change it, so I don't know.
You don't know, yeah. Right, who's at home with you?
My husband, Jerry, and my daughter, Rachel.
So he's responsible for the Twomley in your name. Jerry
he
Twomley,
is.
Yeah.
Yes, he
and
is.
Rachel.
Yes,
what age is Rachel?
She's 23.
Okay, and you've another son where?
I have Adam and he's in Sydney, yeah.
Right.
He's been there nearly 2 years now.
How do you feel about that?
I prefer if he was here, but he's enjoying life out there and he's doing very well out there. So
right.
It's great for him.
And did you give him any instructions before he went?
No, not really, no. He's a good head on his shoulder.
Right.
So he's, and we were out there in end of September, October, and we seen where he lives and see, you know, all his friends and that.
Yeah.
So he's enjoying it out there now.
No, I was thinking, it was like, you know, don't you meet an Australian girl or boy and not come back to us.
Well, sorry, I actually did say that exactly.
Did you?
I
there
say
you go.
That continually.
You see. Because I know that's what my wife is saying now, and now Tom's only 11. You know, that's okay. And Jerry's on dinner duty this evening.
He is. He's off today, so he's making dinner this evening. Yeah,
right.
Which is great.
Do you know what he's making? There's a surprise.
Salmon. No, it'll be salmon and vegetables and potatoes.
Nice.
So,
nice.
Probably.
Yeah. Good healthy dinner. Yeah. You're up against Adele McCauley in Leitrim. Hello, Adele.
Well, Ray, how's it going?
Not too bad. Whereabouts in Leitrim are you?
Well, I live in a big place called Ballinaglera.
Yes, huge.
Which is
huge.
Not too far from Drumshambo.
Right.
Would probably be the reference point,
Ballinaglera.
But I work in Sligo and I'm from Donegal. So
Right. A lot going on there. So is it Ballinaglera?
Ballinaglera.
Glera. Ballinaglera.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
They call it the Glera for short.
Right, the Glera. Go on, the Glera. That sort of thing.
That's it, exactly.
Yes. What has the Glera got to offer?
Well, it's got a village pub stroke shop, one of those, all in one. The church, of course, the GA field, and lots of lovely, lovely people.
What else do you need, Adele?
What else do you need? We're
go
looking
on,
at Loch Allen. We're happy out.
Joseph, is it Evine?
Ivan,
sorry, Cormac and Lachlan. And what ages are they?
8, 6, 4 and 2.
Oh, yeah. So they had the best times of their lives, did they, over Christmas?
Oh, yeah, they did. The house is full of forklifts and God knows what.
Yeah,
because,
brilliant.
Because they can't bring them outside yet. So, having a skirting board that isn't scuffed in the house.
We're day 3 of back to school. How's that going? in your house?
Yeah, I was delighted now to wave them back. No, I must say they're very tired because bedtime routines were out the window.
Yes,
So that's really what I'm seeing, is they're exhausted.
Jet lag.
Morning.
It's sort of like jet lag, isn't it?
For the next
few days. Poor things.
God love them.
Yeah. Enjoy school. See you now, boy.
The teachers are doing great work.
Yes, great work. Okay. Mandy v. Adele. You know the rules by now, I think. So three questions each. I give you the category, ask if you want a clue. If you go for a clue and get it right, you get a point. If you go without a clue and get it right, you get 2 points because it's more difficult. Whoever gets the most points is the winner. And if it's drawing points, we go to a tiebreak question. Good luck to you both.
Good luck, Adele.
Good luck to yourself.
Mandy, Adele. Sorry, Mandy. I should have introduced you at the start. Now, singers first, Mandy. Do you want a clue or not?
No clue, please.
No clue. For two, who is this?
Is this the way to Amarillo? Every night I've been hugging my pillow, dreaming dreams of Amarillo. That sweet Marie who waits for me. Show me the way to Amarillo. I've been weeping like a willow.
Who's that?
This is Pete
O'Kay? No. He did a version of it. That's the original by Tony Christie.
Okay. Yeah. No problem.
He was on the Late Late Show before Christmas there. Great man. Still gigging. Okay. Don't panic yet, Mandy. Adele, singers, what do you want to do? Do you want a clue or not?
I'll chance it without the clue.
Okay. For two, who is this?
Goldfinger. He's the man with the Midas touch. A spider's touch. Such a cold finger.
Who's that?
Oh, it's Welsh.
Yes, Welsh, yes.
God, totally gone blank. Is it Shirley?
I need the full name.
Oh, Shirley Bassey. Came to me.
They're saying it's gone. After the clock. Sorry about that. That's what they're saying.
Okay, that's all right. I could only picture Shirley.
Yeah. It was in the recesses of your brain. It came out eventually, but it was too late. Okay, even start. No, that's fine. Apologise to yourself. Now, next category, Mandy, is funny Irish voices. Do you want a clue or not?
No clue, please.
No clue. Okay, for two, can you identify this funny Irish voice?
I have a freedom back in my life.
Yeah.
Nobody talks about this. You've got these years where you're raising children that's so full on, and then suddenly you kind of go, oh, I don't need a babysitter anymore. And I find myself going, oh, this is I've got a second bite at this. I can hit the road in quite a big way.
Who's that?
No, I don't know. I think it's an author, but I can't think of her name.
Well, the clue was funny. Well, it's part of the clue was funny. So it's Deirdre O'Kane, comedian Deirdre O'Kane.
Okay.
She also competed in Dancing with the Stars 2018. Okay, right, Mandy. Adele, a chance for you to go in front. Funny Irish voices. Do you want a clue or not?
No clue.
Right. Who is this for two?
It was a lovely night, and it was weird because I wasn't expecting anything. We weren't nominated in any category. There was a nice man at the table next door to us, and every time one of the categories would come up to this, said best actor in a comedy, he'd tap me in the arm and go, good luck. And I go, I'm not up for this. Oh, okay. So then best sitcom, good luck. No, I'm not up for this. Keep in mind, I'm not up for anything.
Who's that?
I believe it's Brendan O'Carroll.
It is Brendan O'Carroll, yes, you get 2 points. Okay, now let's see. Mandy, you've yet to score. Adele, you're on two. So, Mandy, it's British comedians this time. You sort of have to go for a 2-pointer, don't you?
No clue.
Yeah, you have to go with no clue. Okay, so British comedians. For 2 points to keep you in the game, good luck with this. Who is this?
Because my mind went blank. I'm like that at pub quizzes. I get white noise. Oh, I did go blank when I did the O2. I came out and I couldn't remember my first joke. People were like, who's he think he is? I'm like, yeah! Yeah! I'm here!
Who's that?
No, I'm gone blank. No, I know who it is. I just can't think of it.
Like him when he was in the O2. It's Alan Carr. Alan Carr.
No, I know that. Yeah.
Yeah, he's doing a great. We watched it the other night. He's doing a great thing now with Amanda Holden, where they're doing up a place in a village in Italy. It's nice. It's called Amanda and Alan's Italian Job. Anyway, Mandy, okay. Listen, we're going to send you out a Radio Arts Show Keep Cup. Lovely talking to you.
Mind yourself.
See you now. Bye. Bye. That's Mandy.
Well done, Adele.
Yeah, there you go.
Thanks so much, Mandy. Bye.
Adele, yes, indeed. Well done. So you're off to the Fairways Hotel with a person of your choice, fairwayshotel.ie. And you didn't even have to answer your third question. I'm not going to waste it because we'll keep that there because we have the clip and everything like that. So well done. Great talking to you, Adele. Bye now.
I'll sadly wave bye-bye to the kids again that day.
Say again?
I'll sadly wave bye-bye to the kids again. Yeah.
See you there. Bye. Bye.
Bye-bye.
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 Show on RTE Radio 1. Email ray@rte.ie. The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
R51551. Now, this song featured on our quiz earlier in the week, and I promised I'd play it in its entirety. So here it is, Peter Gabriel, Salisbury Hill. Peter Gabriel and Salisbury Hill on RTE Radio 1. And last June, when we broadcast live from the beach in Laytown, County Meath, we were joined in the Roadcaster by Meath magician Killian O'Connor, who's from down the road in Mornington. Killian had just scooped third place in Britain's Got Talent, wowing the judges and the audience. Well, things have gotten even more exciting for Killian since then. He has been handpicked by none other than Simon Cowell to appear in an American spin-off version of the TV show called America's Got Talent Fantasy League. And Killian is here with his mum, Elaine, to tell us all about it. Good to meet you again, Killian.
Good to meet you again, Ray.
Yeah, hello, Elaine, for the first time.
Hi, Ray.
Yeah,
nice
it
to
was
meet you.
It was Richie, your dad, who was with you the last time, wasn't it?
Yes.
Yes, yeah. Who's your favourite? Don't answer that question. That's it. So this is hugely exciting.
Yeah. Yes, yes.
Yeah, yeah. So how did it happen? Did he call you? Did Simon Cowell call you?
Yes, I did get a call. So the premise was you would get a call from the judge that had drafted you for their team.
Right.
And they would say what they expect from you. They would give you inspiration, motivation. So I was waiting for the call and picked it up and it was Simon.
Right.
So he said to me, my team is full of people who I think could win this entire thing.
Right.
Now, when we were in America recording it over a couple of weeks, I hung out with him.
Right. You hung out with him in the past tense. Yeah, yeah.
So, thanks for that English lesson. So he was telling me how previous BGT and AGT acts, if you were to drive down the strip of Vegas, you would see posters for their shows in Vegas, implying that could be me one day.
Yes.
And he was also telling me that his son, Eric, out of all the acts that appeared on Britain's Got Talent in 2023, that I was actually his favourite act.
Right.
Now, I was very shocked to hear that, but I can't say that I'm my favourite act, of course. There were a lot of good acts.
You can. You have to love yourself, Killian. That's what they're all telling us these days. You have to love yourself first. Yeah. This is a card from Simon Cowell explaining the premise of the show. He says, from the desk of Simon Cowell, I'm very excited to bring America's Got Talent Fantasy League. This spin-off is the best one yet. Not only do we have the greatest acts from America's Got Talent universe, but for the first time ever, us judges will have a stake in the game and we'll get to mentor our dream teams throughout the competition. Winning America's Got Talent Fantasy League is all about bragging rights. So make your picks and tune in to see who will reign supreme. So you're on his team.
Yes.
How many acts are there in total in the thing?
There were 60 acts nominated. Uh-huh. And
so six judges, 10 acts each. I did the maths there, is it? No.
60 acts nominated. And right. But the fans, the American audience got to vote for 40 of them to get through. Uh-huh. To the show. So four judges, 10 for each of them.
Ah, four judges.
Now, the premise is if you get the golden buzzer, you go straight through to the final.
Yes.
If you get it from your own judge, straight through to the final.
Right.
If you get it from a different judge, which was shown on the first and second episodes, you're they draft you to their team.
Oh, I see. So a bit like The Voice. Yes, people. You can steal yes. them. Yes, yes, yes. Now, Elaine, you must be very proud.
Oh, extremely proud.
Did you get to go over?
Oh, absolutely. The whole family got to go over. Oh, Simon organised for us all, including Killian's little sister, Casey. So it was just the stuff of dreams.
Yeah.
Like, who gets to go to Los Angeles?
And Killian, when you say hanging out, you were in his trailer, as they call them.
Yes.
Impressive. Yes. Was it impressive?
It was very impressive, yes. Yeah. He has his own crew helping him.
Right. I'd say a rather large crew helping him, yeah.
Yes.
What's he like? Because, you know, when back in the day when X Factor and Idol and all that started, he was sort of painted as the baddie.
Yeah.
Is that him or was that just an act?
I would say that's just an act.
Right.
He is not as bad as the media portrays him.
Right.
Now, of course, if you're getting... What's the word? If someone is, you know...
not good.
Not good, yeah. You're gonna you're gonna be mad. But that's just the thing with everyone. Simon is a very nice guy.
And I think he's fair general. Enough. He's fair enough now. I think fatherhood has sort of softened him as well, Elaine, hasn't
it? Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. Because he's seen the world, a bit of the world through Eric's eyes.
And he actually said that Killian reminded him a lot of Eric.
Right. Yeah. You're an amazing young man, Killian, because just to remind people, you have autism. And magic has changed your life in a way, hasn't it?
Yes, of course. I am an autism awareness speaker. I've not only performed to spread awareness of autism, but also I've talked about it at events such as there was a TEDx event up in Ratoff, which I did a talk at.
Right.
As I am, it's...
Yeah, the it's autism group
Irish
in Ireland.
Autism
yes,
awareness.
Yeah. Adam Harris is the
also
name.
A call for Stanford University in San Francisco.
Yes.
So that's just to show that I enjoy speaking about autism awareness and I want to spread the words that people with autism can often struggle with different things. For me, that was social interaction. So I knew what to say, but I didn't know how to say it. So the magic, also autism, I have dyspraxia as well. It means that your fine motor skills, which are greatly affected, which means you're not very good with doing stuff with your hands. So one Christmas, Santa brought me a Rubik's Cube and I started turning it. And I think that was a main factor of what got me into magic. But also...
Are you crying, Elaine?
Yes. Oh, my God.
Are they tears of pride?
Do we have any tissues?
Oh, he's just...
Yeah.
We just idolise him. Like, he's just... amazing.
Yeah.
And he's inspired so many people. So we're just so proud. So proud.
You've heard him say those things before, though. I suppose every time you hear it, is it?
It's just, it's made such a difference to Killian as a person and his life. And like we just, the amount of people that have sent us messages about, you know, how Killian has inspired them. And he just brings so much joy to our lives. And to other people's life. So I'm just so proud. And I just love looking at him here speaking. It's like he's just come on so much through this whole process. It's just been amazing.
Brilliant. So I was just doing the maths there, Killian. So population of the UK is around 64 million, I think.
Yeah.
So the population of the United States of America is five times that or more.
Around 300 million.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah. Wow, are you ready for this?
I think I'm ready.
Great.
I think I'm ready.
Okay, can people see it over here? Because we're running out of time. Can people see America's Got Talent Fantasy League?
Yes, they will be able to see it over here. It's being streamed on NBC, I believe. I'm not sure what other
Right.
And they can watch it on YouTube. It'll be shown, uploaded onto YouTube directly after the episode.
Right. Well, Killian, great.
In the next two weeks.
Killian, great to see you again. Congratulations on getting this far.
Check out my tour, killiansmagic.com.
There you go. And Elaine. Big hug. Thanks so much for coming. Thank you guys
for having us.
Yeah, thank you. That's it from us. Sarah and Cormac are on the way on Drive Time. We're back tomorrow at 3 o'clock. Enjoy the rest of your... What day is it today? Wednesday evening, yes.